So you are blessed today. You're a blessed people. We don't look at circumstances. We don't look at the world. We look at the mirror. This mirror right here that says who you are. And it's a pretty thick mirror. It can't be broken. I said it can't be broken. You might feel sometimes like you're broken, but this says you're not broken. Because Jesus put all the pieces back together. Your life. Amen. My life. And this is the perfect law of liberty that we got to look into and see ourselves victorious, champions, overcomers, more than conquerors. Amen. Does anybody know what a more than conqueror is? In other words, Mark, when you get your paycheck and you sign it and you hand it to your wife, she's more than a conqueror. Amen. That's what more than a conqueror is. Jesus paid the price. And he handed the power, the keys over to us because he took them. He stripped them from the devil. And he has made us now more than conquerors. That's what a conqueror is. He did it. And then he gave it to us. And now we can operate in the same faith that he has given us. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to get you excited a little bit. Let's flip over to the book of 2 Corinthians concerning our tithes and offerings this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. I want to encourage you. The Word of God is there to encourage you. It says, talking about being a cheerful giver. And it says, let me just say, verse 6, "But this I say," Paul speaking here, "he who sows sparingly will also reap what? Sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one," whether you've got a little bit to give today or you've got a lot to give today, "let each one, as he purposes in your heart, so let him give." Okay? Because there's freedom in that. And remember, God's not looking at what you've done. He's looking at what you believe. Okay? Because if we trust God, we're going to want to give. If we not want to give, we're going to give. If we truly trust God, we can't help but want to give because that's a part of his nature. For God so loved the world, he gave. Amen? Amen. And he's never changed from that. Love is always there to give. And that's what Paul wants us to know. So that let each one, as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Everything I receive by grace. Not by works. That's the law. So you have to understand the same way that I got born again, that's the same way I believe God. By faith, I believe. That's the same way I believe God in my finances. That's the same way I believe God for everything, is by his grace. And just simply believe. But then faith without works, kind of getting a little bit into the message though, but faith without works, faith, true Bible faith, does something. When Jesus said, give whatever you have, whether it be a little or whether God has already blessed you and you've got a lot, as you purpose in your heart, cheerfully give. And then, because God loves a cheerful giver. And when he sees that, because see, that means you're in love with him. See, that takes the law out of it. Law was not given for us to bring us into relationship with God. It was to drive us to the need for God. Amen. The law. That's what the law does. Remember Malachi. We heard Malachi. Will a man rob God? Okay, you got to remember, that's old covenant.
That's right.
Okay? See? And then it says, wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. A lot of times it wants to be preached from the pulpit that if you don't bring your tithes, you're robbing God and you're cursed with a curse. That's not true. It used to be true.
That's right.
But see, that's the old covenant. I read in my Bible that Jesus has redeemed me from the curse of the law.
Yes.
Amen. So see, that sets me free. Now I'm happy. Now I give because I'm freed from that law. But if you actually read Malachi, it says, wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. So he who wants to live underneath that tithes mentality, you better give your offerings too. And if you add that up in the old covenant, I'm not going to teach it today, it came up to be about 50%. Lord, I'm thankful to give you 10. I'm happy to give you 10 because, see, the law required 50%. So those that are teaching that and preaching that, hey, you're cursed with the curse if you don't give God, they kind of leave out the offering part because then they're guilty. 50% is a whole lot more than 10%. But you've been redeemed. Christ has set you free. And that's what Paul was wanting you to know. As you've purposed in your heart, give. Because that's what God's looking at. He's not looking at your pocketbook. He's looking at your heart. And I've said this. If he gets your heart, he's got your pocketbook. Because we know the heart of God. So let's stand this morning. And as you've purposed in your heart, if you haven't made a purpose yet, guess what? Love is your purpose. That's what Paul said. If I have given my body to be burned, burned for the Lord, and I don't do it because I love him, I got burned up for nothing. You better get your fire suit on because you burned up for nothing. If I do it with God's kind of love, it profits me nothing. So purpose in your heart today. Father, I love you. And you so love me that you gave Jesus, and I so love you back. You have blessed me with this, and I'm going to give you a portion, what you ask. And when God sees that portion, remember, a seed, but when we give a seed, it comes back to us multiplied 30, 60, 100 fold. You plant a corn seed in the ground, you come back with a corn, an ear of corn that's got 100, 200 seeds on it. See, that's God's kingdom. So as we purpose in our heart, we're going to give today, expecting a return. Expecting a return. Because this is good ground. The kingdom of God is good ground. You put it in there, it's going to multiply. We got a part to do. We got to water it. When the devil says, what you're doing is wrong, it's written, Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. God said, give. I'm giving. I'm cheerful, and I'm giving it. And it's coming back to me, devil. You might as well just get yourself behind me. Amen? Because the only things behind me is goodness and mercy, and they following me. Amen? Amen. Let's purpose. Father, we thank you, Lord. As the church gives today, we thank you, Father God, that these are seeds going into the kingdom of God. And we see a multitude. I see a multitude of blessings coming back to them, Father, because that's what you promised. Lord, and we thank you right now. If there's famine in the land, we're believing for that your seed to take care of that famine. Because we've already put seed in the ground. So, Father, we're prepared. We're prepared for anything. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. And our seed, when it goes in the ground, it's going to produce because it's a life-giving seed. And we thank you, Lord, that we're sowing our finances into the kingdom of God, which is a life-giving source. And it's not the stock market has nothing to do with our return. Jesus, you are our return, and you're coming again. But until then, we're going to prosper here on this earth. And we're going to have that we may have to give. And we just thank you for that, Father God. And we call it done right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bring your offering and believe for the harvest. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Gideon heard those words. Remember the story of Gideon? The angel came to him and said, well, you're a mighty man of valor. He didn't feel like it at the time. But God said you are because God gave him a purpose. He has created each one of us with a purpose. Amen? And it's a mighty purpose that he's put on the inside of us. It's a dream. You know, I put out there on the in the foyer, Martin Luther King Day. The man had a dream. And it was given to him by God. And it didn't matter what the world was doing, what the secular world was doing, what the natural, what the spiritual world was doing. He had a purpose from God. And he knew that God was his provider and his protector. And he was willing to lay down his life, and it cost him his life. But his dream still lives on in the hearts of the people. He had a word from God that he was created by a creator for a purpose. Amen? And color has nothing to do with it. God just put color in here to make us different. Amen? God's just not single. He put color in here to make us colorful. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Amen. That's what it's there for. Man, you got to have something on the page just besides white or red or blue. You got to mix them all together, and it makes something beautiful. Yes. And that's what God's about. Amen. And he was a beautiful man, has a beautiful family, and had a beautiful message he was sharing. And so just think about and pray about his family and the message that still needs to go forth in us tomorrow as we celebrate his day. He's in the choirs of heaven cheering us on right now. Cheering us on. Okay, this morning, like I promised you, we're going to talk about what it means to be a financial steward or stewardship. And I remind you of Romans 10:17. I really don't have a keynote scripture because when the Bible talks about finances, there's a lot of scriptures that deal in finances. Jesus probably talked as much about finances and money as he did about the devil and coming against his kingdom. Because guess what? The devil don't want you to know you got an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Because he wants to keep it. He wants to keep you out of that light. He wants to keep you in darkness. And I was there for a long time in the world and in the just caught up in the system of this world. Called debt. That's what he wants you to be, in debt. Because if you're in debt, you don't want to give somebody debt. And you can't give nobody something you don't have. So you got to be out of debt to be prospering to help somebody else prosper. So remind you, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing God's word. True Bible faith comes by hearing God's word and hearing the word of God. So faith for prosperity, how is it going to come? Come on, help me out. How is prosperity going to come? Somebody's got to tell me that God has caused me to prosper. Because the world says you need to give it all to me. You need to give your taxes and then some. You need to do this and you need to do that. And you need to be saving up all your money for hard times. Well, we're going to use Bible wisdom also. But whether hard times come or not, it doesn't change things in the economy of heaven. Because remember, Jesus walks on streets of gold. His streets are paved with gold. God's understanding of prosperity is he walks on it. You know, it's just gold. He doesn't need it to live and thrive in heaven. It's something you walk on. But down here, because of man, that's where this monetary system all came into. And this ain't in my notes, but this is something I've learned, that it never was God's purpose for us to have to buy and sell. It was always to give. In other words, you raise your cows, you raise your chickens, and then you help somebody else out that don't have none. Say the storm came through. I mean, you trade. Then the monetary system, then man got involved in the monetary system, the gold. So now our money is based upon gold, which God put in the garden. Anybody dug up any gold lately out of your garden? Well, we need to be believing we got some. Amen, because that's the way the money is based upon the gold system. And it might not be in your garden, but it's in your future. Amen? And Jesus is in your future. And the Holy Spirit knows where Jesus is. So therefore, we can get it in the night, now and now. Because Jesus said, whatever I have, I give unto you. Whatsoever I have, I give unto you. Now you go, therefore. He said, don't worry about what you got in your pocketbook right now. Just go, because he knows where he's going to take you. The blessing's there. That means if you don't have any money as you're going, when you get there, come in here, brother. You're taking the gospel of peace to the world. God's going to take care of you. Somebody's going to bring you in, clothe you, put you in a bed, feed you, give you some water. That's what he's talking about. If you go preaching this gospel, I've got people that's going to take care of you. When you come to church, you give your tithes and your offerings, and you go back out, God's got people out there. He's going to take care of you. Amen. And we got to believe that, because the devil don't want you to believe that. And he's going to try to do everything he can to take that seed from you when you sow it today. And I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about the promise. If he can get that promise, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so will you be. Even though you put money in a plate, if you think it ain't going to come back to you, guess what? It's not coming back. Because the devil stole that promise from you. He's got you not to believe it. And Jesus said, you can't be double-minded. Paul said, James said, a double-minded is unstable in all his ways. So we got to be single-minded. Single-minded is coming back. When you give, it's going to profit whoever you're giving it to. But is it going to come back to you? Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. See, God wants you to prosper. Period. Because if you don't prosper, the kingdom of God doesn't prosper here in the earth. And God wants his people free, a cheerful giver. Amen. And he's not about not. It's not wrong having good things. Cecil knows I've been talking about a motorcycle for a long time. But I got one graduating college and I got more starting, but I haven't given up on that dream. And I've planted a seed. I've given a motorcycle. I used to have a problem with motorcycles. I was addicted to them. I got to have the next one. This ain't good enough. And I didn't have new ones, but I did get one new at one time. But see, that was a desire I had that it wasn't wrong having a motorcycle, but I had the wrong desire when I got on it, what I was doing. I was just going, getting away from the family instead of just getting on it and just enjoying the time that I had. See, it was a getaway for me. Just to get away from the house and get on my bike and just boom, 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 and just ride. Well, see, and then I never had a Harley, never wanted one, but I always wanted mine to sound like a Harley. So I drilled, and Cecil probably knows, you can drill out the mufflers, the baffles on these things, because I had a Honda that wanted it to be a Harley. Amen. It did. It sounded pretty bad. Bad's the word.
You're breaking his heart.
But see, I had wrong intentions getting on that bike. And I always, whether I had the money or not, I would find some kind of way. I would trade something, sell something I had, go get the next bike that I wanted. But one day I heard a man preaching, said, if you'll give something, God can take it and he can multiply it back to you, but he can take it and bless somebody else with it. It was Dean Melton down at Freedom Christian Center in Charlotte. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Andrew Womack comes down there for tent meeting every year. And I went down there that night. I didn't ride my motorcycle, but I went down with a buddy of mine. And he said, give me whatever you bring into here, and we can get it into the kingdom of God. We can help other people. And I was thinking about that motorcycle. And I was like, Lord, I need to get rid of this thing because it's not benefiting me. But I went up and asked him. I said, Pastor, I said, can you use a motorcycle? He said, can I use a motor? And this pastor's people have given him cars. Cars come in. He blesses people with cars, but cars have been given to him. He said, bring me that motorcycle in. And I brought it to him. And it was a pretty decent motorcycle. It just had a problem. Transmission needed to be worked on. But he took that motorcycle and he raffled it. They brought it down the aisle into the camp meeting and said, we've got somebody that's, they didn't have money to give, but they gave what they had. He gave his motorcycle. Now, we're going to take this motorcycle and we're going to sell it, and then we're going to put the money into the kingdom. Now, I don't know what that motorcycle got that night, but it didn't, I mean, I had it looking good. I had it shined up looking good, and I felt good. I had a cheerful attitude that night because I was getting rid of this thing that was, get rid of the sin that so easily besets you and weights you down. See, it was a problem I had. So I gave it away into the kingdom. Happy about it. But then, about three or four, I still like riding motorcycles. I always had a desire and love to do it. But it was taking me away from God and away from my family. But when I got into the Word and got into love, fell in love with Jesus and just learning about the Word, he reminded me one day. I must have been thinking about riding motorcycles. He said, son, he said, that seed you sowed is still in the ground. See, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He said, expect your motorcycle back. I'm like, yeah. Hallelujah. It's not in my past, it's in my future.
Amen.
See, my seed is growing. So I'm believing God for that return. Amen. And I just leave it at that. And I've given me a vision of what it looks like, what color it is, what it sounds like. Amen. So I'm going to ride it. I am going to ride it one day. Amen. Then I'm going to go to Cecil's house and I'm going to honk my horn. I said, let's go. I got it. Boonga, boonga, boonga. But first, see, what I'm taking you to is the desire had to be right. My motives were all wrong. But when I gave that day, I gave out of a cheerful heart, knowing I need to get this out of my life and get it. But I can get it. I can put it somewhere. See, that motorcycle in itself is not evil. Money can be used. The money itself is not evil. $1, $100. But it's the purpose of somebody's hearts that takes that money and either puts it into the gospel for good things or puts it on the street for prostitution. See, money is not evil, but it comes out of the attitude and motive of the heart. The love of money is the root of all evil. See, that's what it all goes down to. So I'm thinking, you know, this is going to be a good time. We're starting off a new year, a good time just to minister on finances and prosperity, because it's good. When you got more money than you had 10 years ago, you feel a lot better. See, money has power attached to it. So faith, we need to hear some teaching on prosperity. Not that you're poor. Because God can't get somebody out of poverty if the person he's trying to get out is poor. Or the person that's there is poor. You understand? But wherever you are, Paul said, wherever I am, I'm content. If you're in poverty right now, but if you got Jesus, you're the richest as you can ever be. Because you have the ticket out. He's the escape route of whatever you're in. He took your poverty. He became poor. The covenant, so we wouldn't have to be poor. No more. So we need to know what the Scripture says about prosperity. And 1 Chronicles 29:12, both riches and honor come of thee, come of the Lord. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. See, you don't just have to have honor when you come to God. You can have honor and riches. Honor the Lord with your substance. That's what the Bible says. And with all your increase, honor Him. It's honor to give unto God. And when you honor Him, God says, I'll honor Him that honors me. So if you honor Him with riches, if you honor Him with your tithes and your offerings, guess what? He's going to honor you back. Not just here, openly. He's going to reward you openly. Out in the streets. Out in your workplace. See, because when he says what you do in private, this is kind of like, this is His house. As we do what we do to the Lord, we always do in private. We don't go out in the streets and say, hey, I'm going to church. I'm giving my tithe today. Are you giving yours? You know, we're not out there on the streets like the religious people do. That's the religious person. He's wanting that self-acclaim. Look what I'm doing for God. Well, God wants, when you do something, He wants you to see it doing in secret. See, you prepare in your heart what you're going to give today. You might be doing when you leave here what you're going to give today, or when you get your paycheck. See, you've already got all that settled out. You need to do that before you come here. Because when you come here, you're worshiping God. It's a part of your worship. So both riches and honor come of thee. Psalms 34:10, and that's where I'm at. Psalms 34:10 says, now this was in the Amplified, but it says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. If you see a beggar on the street, he doesn't understand that. He's never heard that. He hasn't heard that from his father or mother. Because if you've heard that and you've heard it and heard it, and if you believe that, you'll always be blessed. You won't be out on the street begging because you always have a roof over your head and food on your table. That's what David's saying. If the righteous, and back then the righteous were those that were observing to do what was written. God knew they couldn't do it all, but they were observing to do. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They were making a point to do what God said to do, to walk and do what He said to do. See, He wasn't looking at the sacrifice. He was looking at the obedience. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. It pays off. Obedience pays off. Kids, obedience pays off. I didn't obey my mother and father at times. And the belt hurt. The hickory switch hurt. Obedience pays off. And then even as you get older, now I'm obeying God. See, if I obey my mama's voice, God says, you'll listen to me. If you won't listen to mama, you won't listen to God. If you won't listen to daddy, you won't listen to God. Because, see, that's somebody I can see. And the Bible says, if you won't give to your brother who has in need, how are you going to say you love God and give to him somebody you can't see? See, God knows us. He knows us inside and out. He just wants us to just be truthful with Him today. If you got questions, ask Him. Ask me. I don't know it all, but I know Him who knows it all. And I'll lead you the right way, and we'll get you the wisdom you need. But you got to build that relationship with Him. Amen. And it's in the Word. The Lord says He will trust The Lord said, those who trust in him will not lack any good thing. Trusting in yourself or this world system is a recipe for disaster. And you know what I like? I like brownies. I talked about my recipe for brownies. A recipe for disaster is you do not have the Word of God in your food pantry at all. You trusting in what the world's putting in there, and that's sardines and crackers. Get that picture. That's a poor man's supper. Hey, I can take you back to when y'all could probably relate. You know, my idea of when I was growing up, having me a snack in my kitchen was going to get me two pieces of bread and pour me some K-Rose syrup in the middle and smashing it together. Look at Mark, he's back there. Man, that's bad. And maybe put a couple crackers in the middle of it to make it a little crunchy. Because we had hard times. Daddy didn't serve God. Mama worked all she could raising 4 or 5 kids. And the pantry wasn't that. Pantry, I could hide in that pantry. That was one of my hiding places when I did something wrong. There wasn't no food in there. I could get my body in there. But I didn't stay in there long because there wasn't nothing to eat. You know, if there's something to eat, I might have stayed in there a little bit longer hiding from Mama. There was food, but it wasn't plenteous. I mean, I'm just taking you back here a little bit, painting a picture for you. That's the recipe that the world will give you. But Jeremiah 10:23 says, it's not in man to direct his own steps. There's a better way. There's a better way. God's way. You might say, oh, I can do this on my own. That's a recipe for disaster. Because it's not in man to direct his steps. Deuteronomy 8:18, I remind you of this scripture. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to obtain wealth that he may, get that wealth that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto his fathers until this day. God's made a promise, and he can't lie. So if we do it, if we're obedient to him and trust him, he's got to make it come to pass in our life. He has swore to it. He swore to the earth, and God can't lie. What is this covenant? Remember the Lord thy God that he may give thee the power to obtain wealth that he may establish his covenant. What is the covenant? We know it. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful. There it is. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have authority over it. Don't let it rule over you. You rule over it. That's what God said. And have dominion over the fish, over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. God is the one, and these are some keys here. I'm going to speed up a little bit. God is the one who gives the power to get wealth. He doesn't give you the wealth. He gives you the power, and I'm going to put it right there. He gives you the anointing or the ability to do it. And it's not my ability, and this is the key about being a stewardship. Everything that I have is because of God. And everything you have is because of God. And that's where you need to get self out of the way and know that he's your creator. And we're all created different. Different colors, different talents, different abilities, strengths, weaknesses. And know that God created you that way. Don't try to change who you are. I'm not talking about your spirit. I'm talking about the way God has made you. If you're a Harley, be a Harley. If you're a Honda, be a Honda. But don't try to take a Honda and take something out of it and call it a Harley. Whatever God's put on the inside of you, be content with that, but don't be satisfied with it. Because see, God put Adam in the garden to do something with it, to cultivate it, to make it better than what it actually was. Amen? He gave him all the ability he needed, and he was giving him the wisdom how to do greater things if he would just, that was what the fellowship was for. That was getting the ability to know what to do with what all these things God had given him. The whole earth, there was just one man on there. One man, one woman. So that's the covenant. And God hasn't changed. He can change not. Is to bless you. He is always out to bless you. And see, this is where we got to know the difference between the blessing and the curse. Okay, the curse came in because of transgression, and it came in because there was somebody called the devil out there that didn't like what God had created him to be. So you got to understand, God is always trying to get his blessing to you. He's never changed. He is the one who's getting you the power to get wealth. Notice that he doesn't give us wealth directly. In other words, you just don't come up here and put your money in and all of a sudden money starts floating down from heaven. That ain't the way he does it. Whether we realize it or not, but God is the source. He's the source of all the prosperity. And prosperity is not just money. It's how do you get along with your husband? That's going to determine whether you prosper or not. How do you get along with your kids? How do you get along with your boss? See, if God is your source, you'll treat them right and you'll act right, and then then you find the favor of God. God said, don't be mocked, don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you're a good worker, and even though they might be doing not treating you quite right, but you're still a blessing. See, God said you're a blessing. Then we need to act like God's kids, right? If we're blessed, we need to act like those that are going out to be a blessing. Let me ask you a question. I want to ask the question right. What did you do to be born in this time, in this history, in this world? What did you do? Absolutely, you had no choice on when you were born, what year you were born, what generation you're born in. But God had a purpose to put you and me in this place, in this season, in our lives. We could have been born in a impoverished nation, and they're still out there. We've been born and blessed in one of the blessed nations in the world, United States. Or we could have been born in a place where the economic area is terrible, where we are living by trading chicken and cows. I mean, a lot of people, their countries, that's what they deal in. They don't have money, but they raise their own food, their gardens, their animals, and it depends on their welfare depends on that animal. And trading is probably what they do. We didn't give ourselves these talents and abilities, but we can develop them. In other words, God has gifted us with all the talents and abilities. There's nothing we can do to earn it, but we can develop them and make them better. Those giftings and talents, they're given to us by our Creator, by God. And don't let nobody else say, I'm a man's man. You remember hearing that? Or I'm a woman's woman. I have women, there's women's right, the women's movement. All that stuff was not godly, it was secular. Financial prosperity isn't giving you money. God gives you an anointing that enables you to prosper, an anointing only that God can give. The real asset is not the money, not the house, not the car, not the motorcycle. It is the anointing of God on the inside of you that produces the wealth. That's the key. The real asset is that favor, at the favor of God. Money isn't prosperity. Money is the byproduct of what true prosperity is. Being prosperous is relying on God as your source. Godly prosperity is not what I have, it's what I have to give. That's true prosperity, because God knows if he can get it to you and trust you with it, he knows he'll get it through you. And that's, you know, he's not just going to, he wants us to be a good steward. This is what being a stewardship is all about. There are people who prosper without trusting God in this earth. Mega bucks. They're out there. But it usually destroys their lives. And let's look in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10. And this is what Paul was talking about, Timothy, about being content. And Tammy's been ministering out of Timothy. It says, and having food and clothing with these, just be content. We shall be content. Verses 8 and 9. But those who desire, now you need to underline that word desire. But those who desire to be rich. See, now they're not desiring God. They're desiring to be rich. Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33 says. Seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, seek God's way of doing things. The kingdom of God is the way God operates. The kingdom of God. If I'll make that my number one priority, is figuring out how God's system works, all these other things will be added to me. Because the first thing I'm going to learn is to be a good steward with what God's given me. And that means maybe starting a savings account. It does mean starting a savings account. Because God said that he would bless us in the Old Testament in our storehouses, plural. It's a place where you have things stored up. So if you don't have a savings account, get one started. See, God can bless something that has something in it. I said God can bless something that has something in it. You've got a lot on the inside of you. You're blessed with the blessings of Father Abraham. Now, I'm going to say, now act like it. That's what God wants you. Now act like it.
Amen.
We're not babies anymore. We're kids. We're growing in the kingdom of God. God says, act like you got a purpose on the inside of you, because you do. Because some people have told you you don't. That you're just sorry trash. I've heard that before in my life. If you've heard that, that's a word from the devil trying to get you off God's beaten path, a glorious path. I say beaten. Jesus was beaten for your transgressions. Amen?
Amen.
So you don't have to be. I had some family that was beaten by their dad. They don't have to take that beating anymore. Jesus took a beating for us. You don't live underneath you don't live in a relationship like that. If you're being beaten in the home, you get out. I'll get into that more in the marriage seminar, but Jesus was beaten, so we don't have to be beaten. That's not treating your wife right. And you can't do that and expect God to bless you either. Amen? You got to get out from underneath that curse. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy here. But those who desire to be rich, your motive's wrong. They fall in temptation and a snare. The fear of man is a snare. And into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. For which some, not all, Paul said, for which some have erred or strayed from the faith. Talk about Christians now. Erred from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In other words, they took the wrong path. They took what God gave them, the purpose God had given them, and they're just in lewdness. They're just enjoying themselves. That they may be rich, but it's going to cost them in other areas. If you prosper, and this is what we're going to do, we're going to prosper God's way. In Proverbs 10:22, you've heard this, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The people that Paul was talking about there, about Timothy, there's no joy in their life the way... For a season, they're having sin as pleasurable for a season until the season comes due, until it's the end of that season. And then they're at the bottom. It's like a drug. It's like an addiction. They never can get high. They're going for the next high, going for the next thing where I can put this money. And you'll get to where you'll disown your family trying to meet that addiction. I was there. I was doing it. You'll go to different levels and different levels of how I can please this flesh. And you'll come to the end of yourself. And hopefully you'll come to Christ like I did. And then he'll turn things around. That I'll never see the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging for bread. So I got a vision of that now. No matter what lies ahead, Jesus is in my future. And it's bright and glorious, and he's in your future. So I believe that the first step to prosperity, and we're going to close this here in a minute. I believe that the first step to prosperity is recognizing that you are a steward. We've got to understand that we're a steward of God's finances. This requires a huge mind shift from the way the world views money. The world encourages you to be an owner, and not a steward. See, what we think of success, God looks at it totally different. What the world sees success is about how much money, how many cars, how big of a house. In other words, how many bathrooms do you need in your house? How big is your family? But you know, you can have your vision can be all out of whack. So we've got to change our mind shift here from the way the world views money. That's not the way we view it. The world encourages you to be an owner and not a steward, but it's not up to you to pick and choose. It's not up to me to pick and choose what I do with my finances. God has given me and blessed me so that I can bring finances in, so that then the first thing I gotta do is I gotta trust him. Remember when he brought the children out of the land of Egypt? That he caused them to have favor. The Egyptians were pushing everything they have, their gold and their silver, into their knapsacks. Said, take this stuff and leave. We don't even want this gold and silver. We want you to leave. See, God put favor upon them. And they went out there and they were blessed. Had all the gold and silver and was going to the promised land. But they ran into something in the wilderness called the old devil. They didn't have an understanding of who he was, but it was called the lust of the flesh. When the preacher is gone on the mountain, the people started playing, started having fun with all this gold and silver. What did they do? They melted it down and made a golden calf, an old dumb, mute idol. Couldn't speak, couldn't hear, and they traded that desire that God gave them over to the lust of the flesh. God has given us finances so that we can trust Him. Then He will cause us to prosper. God has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. We've got to start from a position of stewardship. That's where the plan starts. And let Him be the owner. In other words, God says, I own the cattle and 1,000 hills. I own all these cattle. See, He's the owner. He's the creator. Now, all we got to do is just submit to His authority and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to give? How much would you have me to give? See, don't limit it. Don't limit tithe to 10%. See, God doesn't look at the amount of money. He looks at percentages. See, if He looked at a millionaire, if my income was $1 million and yours was $50,000, God says, give 10. See, we're equal. See, He doesn't look at the amount. He looks at percentages. But then it's not about that. It's about, do you trust me? If I got $10, God's saying, can you trust me with one? Trust you to do what? To multiply it back to you. That's what He's saying. Can you trust me with that dollar so that I can give you back 10? Better yet, I'll give you back 100 on that one. Anybody in here in their right mind, if you brought me a dollar up here, I'd give you $100 bill back. Who in here would not do that? I don't see any hands raised. That's what God says. Trust me in that. See, we need to be believing for that hundredfold. But He also said, when you do that, when you walk out of here and you start telling people about me and what I'm going to do, they're going to say, you idiot. You're stupid. See, He said, with persecution is going to come for the word's sake. That's your when you walk out of here, people's going to call you. You don't need to be giving your money to the church. You need to be giving in to somebody that's doing something. See, a lot of people don't think worshiping God is doing anything or giving to the work of God is doing anything. They think they need it in their business. Well, no, they need God in their business. Amen? They're just being busybodies. Now, I'm preaching to myself here because I used to be there. But if you put God in your business will succeed. And doing that that's what the tithe is there for. When I do that, what am I doing? I'm acting like I believe it. Because God said do it. That's where, don't look at the preacher. He's preaching about tithe. No, I'm saying what God says do. Because I want you to be blessed. I want to be blessed. And I want you to be blessed. So what we got to do is teach it from the housetop. Preach it from the housetops. And don't limit yourself to 10%. And I've talked with Sherry. I said, you know, what we've got to do, get a vision of what you want to do. What God has given you to do. Let me change that. And it's bigger than what you think you can do. Because God's not going to give you the grace to do something that you can do on your own. Did you hear me? See, your vision, the vision God has for you is much bigger than what I have, what I think I have. His vision is you reaching out and touching the world. I mean, that's the kind of vision God gives you because He says with Him, He'll take the impossibilities and make them possible. If I'm doing it on my own, I'm not trusting God because it's possible to do. But God's going to give you something that you say, I can't do that. He says, that's right, that's my plan for you. Because then He'll make it possible. And to do that, I can't do it on my own. That's right, you got to trust me. And you got to begin it with the least, give Him what is least. And I'm not going to have time to get into it today. But Philippians 4:9, when God is your source, He will supply all your needs. And He has supplied all your needs. And it won't be according to this world's economy with all its depressions and recessions, but your needs will be supplied according to God's economy. And there is no deficits in His economy. Amen? The only red in His economy is the word that's written in red. Amen? And Jesus signed it in His blood. In my Father's house are many mansions. So you live in a mansion, get used to it here on the earth. Be believing for something better than what you have, because when you get to heaven, it's going to blow you away. It's going to blow your flesh away to see what God's prepared for you. So He wants us to start getting prepared down here. If He's got many mansions when we get there, I think I could believe for one down here, don't you? Amen? Believing for one. Now you get a picture of what your... To one person's mansion, it might be different. You might be happy with two bathrooms. You might not have but one right now. See, that's your mansion. As you purpose in your heart, so let him give. But stretch your borders out here this morning. Amen? I'm going to stop right there. But get a vision, and it's going to be bigger than you. What has God put in your heart? What has he given you to do? Each one of us has a purpose. And God's showing me, he's not going to show you the whole plan, but he's going to show you. Ask him. There's something he's called you to do specifically. Now believe big for that. Amen? It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. And if we're thinking small, it's probably not God's plan. Now I'm not saying we'll use wisdom there. We'll start out in small areas in that big plan. But he's got a big plan for each one of us. Amen? And he's got all the resources we need to get it done. And I want to take that locally here in the church, too. There's a plan, there's a vision for this church locally, and it's bigger than us. So we need to be believing for bigger things. And he's starting with what we have right now. But he's going to bless us. While the numbers are few, guess what? Get ready for bigger blessings. Because he still hasn't changed his plan. So until the rest of the workers come in, the ones he's going to bless to come in, he's going to do it through you or me. Amen? Because he's going to get his job done, but he needs us to help him. You believe that this morning? I see faith out there. Paul perceived, I see faith out there this morning. Just remember, it starts with being a steward. Remember, everything you have is not yours. God gave it to you. Your health, everything. If we didn't have our health, if we didn't have air to breathe, if we didn't have lungs that could breathe in, breathe out, we couldn't do anything. We just need to make sure that we're good stewards of what he's given us. And then he'll give us more. He'll take from the one that's doing nothing with it, and he'll give it to you. So you'll do something with it. Amen? And it's not like he's taking it. They're not using it anyway. Remember the fig tree? It was doing nothing. So God said, you need to be cut down. You're using soil that somebody else could use. You understand? So God's not going to give somebody more if they're not doing with anything what they've got, being a good steward. He's not going to just bless that. He blesses stewardship. They might get 30. Somebody else might get 100. You say, well, why did they get blessed? I guess they're doing something with it. Is that God saying? You understand? God rewards faithfulness. Bigger rewards. The more faithful you are, bigger rewards are out there. But he's no respecter of persons. But he is a respecter of faith, right? Because it takes faith to please him. He'll respect that faith. We step out there, I'll do that. Stamp of approval, faith. Stamp of approval. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got some visions right now? I've seen some visions out here. I don't know your particular vision, but I've seen some visions out here. I've seen some minds thinking about some things that they hadn't got accomplished yet. Hallelujah. Let's stretch our faith right now. I'm going to release what God wants me to say over your visions, over your future this morning. And if you have any more needs, you just come up here and we'll agree. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you right now for hearts being opened up to your word today, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the visions, Lord, you have given us are for an appointed season. And, Father, I just thank you right now for the ability, Lord, for the anointing, your anointing right now upon each individual in this church, in your house, Father, that they would open up their windows, your windows that have been opened up, Father God, that they would receive. Lord, they would open up their hearts to receive those blessings that's been opened up. Lord, you're not about shutting windows. You always got your windows open to us, Father. But are we seeking you? Are we seeking you? Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, I just thank you right now, Lord, for your anointing upon the hearts and minds of your people to stretch their faith for these visions, for the visions you have given us, Father. And, Lord, I'm asking for the same thing for myself and for the vision of this church, the specific vision and plan and purpose you have for Word of Faith Worship Center here in Concord, Lord. And we're calling those visions in right now. We're calling those visions and the people in right now, Father God, so that we can go out, so we can be a bigger blessing. So, Lord, so the lost could get saved, Father, And then those visions, Lord, that are dead out there in the world, Lord, they come alive right now because your church comes alive. They come into this church and their vision is birthed again right now, Father. In Jesus' name, we just thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I speak against negative visions right now. Negative words that's been spoken over anybody in this church right now in their life, even as teens or as children, that the devil tried to come in and speak death. I command that to fall to the ground right now in the name of Jesus. For the Spirit of the Lord is there is liberty, and I release liberty right now to the minds of God's people. Hallelujah. So we break those curses right now, the curse of poverty, small thinking. I speak against small thinking right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your mind would come to your people, that you would expound their boundaries right now, Father. They could think of you and see you high and lifted up and see the plan that they have for their life. It's glorious. It's a glorious plan. And it's not about us. It's all about you, Lord. It's about fulfilling that covenant, bringing godly seed into the kingdom of God, and then seeing that church arise and shine and be the glorious church that you've called for. And we just thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I speak life to businesses. There's some businesses in here. God has given you a vision for a business, whether it's your business or the business you're under right now. I speak life to that vision right now in the name of Jesus, that you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength and the ability, the anointing right now to do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.